Welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, a production from Empowering Pumps and Equipment as the voice of the pump and related equipment industry. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of the Empowering Industry Podcast.
49. We need to do something big next week. I didn't even think about that. Okay. Sorry.
I thought about it. I think I've been counting down to what can we celebrate? But I celebrate it big every week. So yeah. Well, I'm your host, Charlie Matthews, and I'm joined by my co-host, Bethany Walmack.
Thank you, Charlie, for bringing me back. And I'm super excited to be here with you like I am every week. We have a really fun show coming up for you where we're going to talk about social media updates, preview the news from Empowering Pumps and Equipment, and connect you with an industry influencer. And as always, we would really appreciate it if you left us a rating, review, wherever you're listening to this, whether it be on your favorite podcast platform or YouTube. Like, subscribe, do all the fun things so that you get us every Monday. And you get to hear about how awesome our weeks were. So, Charlie, how was your awesome week, which I see a preview of, doesn't look that awesome.
Yeah. So the tornadoes this week were not awesome. And, you know, I got to say, it was so close. You know, it went right over my dad's house. It was just really close. So we had to watch it all day long. You know, James Spann's in, you know, he's got his suspenders on. So we're watching the news the whole day, which this is just stressful. You're just in this state of stress all day long.
Having to rely on watching the news when you're in a storm where your power might get cut is super stressful.
Yes. And if you've ever been in a tornado, which I have, we were watching it and it was coming directly towards us and then the power went out and you're just sitting there, you know, and I have three babies to hold on to. And I'm like, what do? You just kind of hope and pray. So I know that there's a lot of people who kind of went through that, had that anxiety, you know, of just a thunderstorm, you know, what is it going to do? And there was loss of life in these tornadoes. And that's always just super sad. And you want to go and help. And but anyway, outside of the tornadoes, which were terrible, I had some good things happen this week. And one thing, when you started talking about like and subscribe, it reminded me of Carly. She has been wanting to create her own YouTube channel. I don't know. She's 10, y'all. Do y'all think that that's appropriate? I don't know. So I let her just record them on her device. And, you know, she's doing makeup tutorials, which I think is hilarious. That's my daughter, you know, YouTube. She's going to teach you how to be a wild person with makeup. Yeah. So like and subscribe both here and, you know, maybe Carly's channel. The other thing I wanted to mention, which I just love this because, you know, this is our last trade show together, Bethany, Energy 2.0, and it's coming back around. And I was wondering if they were going to have it. It will be virtual, but Katie has invited me to do kind of this co-MC with her for a couple of panels. And so I'm really excited about that. I wish we were all together, but I'm glad that it's still going on because I thought it was such a great event.
You know, I was looking through the picture archives and I saw a picture of you presenting at Energy 2.0 last year. So we're going to have to break those out to reshare when it starts coming out again this year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I had my panel. I remember now.
Man, what a crazy event. You know, that was when we were elbow bumping everyone because we didn't know what to do.
No, I washed my hands as soon as I touched somebody's hand. I'm like, come on, Bethany, we got to go to the bathroom. Oh my gosh, I'm terrified.
But I'm happy to hear that they're redoing it and excited that you're going to be part of it. When is the event going to be?
April 14th. So 13th, 14th, 15th. I'll be there on the 14th. And so, you know, Katie's one of those women we like to celebrate. It was, you know, Women Histories Month or Women Making Histories Month, however you want to say it, right? Women History Month. And Katie has been doing that. She's been, you know, from Pink Petro now is Ally. She really is breaking barriers and especially in that energy space. So credit to her and keep going, girl, if you listen to this.
I always find a little sense of pride when we talk about Katie because she's also from Houston and she's just doing such big, amazing things. She's on some government council for women in energy and really advocating for change and is just a thought leader in the industry too about different things. And so I always love seeing her social media and seeing the questions that she's talking about with her group. And I think it'll be really awesome to hear the two of you together for Energy 2.0. For sure.
Yeah, I think just thinking about the energy transition and how big that is and what we're going through. And, you know, you definitely feel it, you know, being in Houston and kind of that network of feeling like, what are we going to do? How are we changing? How are we adapting? And so she's having those conversations. So y'all, will put the link in the show notes to Energy 2.0 so y'all can check it out. But before we go on, Bethany, what was your week like?
In a much less impactful, like this doesn't affect anyone but me, but you all get to listen to it because you're a captive audience. I left the house. My husband and I went to dinner. We sat on a patio at a restaurant without any children for the first time in a very long time. And I can't explain it. It was amazing. It's just like, it's nice to get out of the house and feel like life is trending back towards things being a little bit more normal, whatever that means.
Well, you've got this new life, you know, you've got an additional human in the house with you.
Yeah.
And just getting out in a way is so important. And I think it does affect more than just you. It affects us and our team, right? Your energy and how that goes and all of our listeners too, right? She's bringing the energy today, right?
I'm trying, which I'm very energized because we had an Empowering Women event, our conference planning committee meeting this morning. And it was just, it's always fun to see this group of women that I think are really excelling where they are in their career and their company and talking about what kind of topics that we're looking for in the call for papers and what programs we really want things to be presented on. And so it's just making me really excited for that conference coming up in October that's going to be a hybrid, virtual and in person in Chicago. And for one, I'm happy to get back to events with Charlie and to take my camera and just go to town doing what I love doing, but to see all of you. And it's just, it's an exciting time. And so that call this morning really energized me and made me excited to record this podcast and bring the energy, right, Charlie?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think it's a perfect time. We're moving into Let's Get Social. So you want to?
This is where we're going to talk about something that we're seeing on social media right now that we think is important to share with you. But first, Charlie's going to tell us when our next meetups are that you can join us.
Yes. So Empowering Women's Meetup is going to be Wednesday, April the 14th. That's every second Wednesday at 11 Central Time. And then we have the Empowering Brands Meetup, which is Tuesday, April 20th, every third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Central Time.
You need to pre-register for those events so we can send you the Zoom link. The links to register is in the show notes. Be ready to come to those things, turn your camera on, say hi to us. It's a good time.
Yeah. And on that note, make sure that you say hi to us online. So stay connected with us at Empowering Pumps or using the hashtag Empowering Industry Podcast. I do check those and I love seeing a shout out, especially if you like mention the podcast or something we said. Extra points for that, right?
Yeah. Okay. So the big thing that we've seen on social media all month, and I just hit my desk, that we've seen all month and we're kind of coming to an end of is that March is Women's History Month. And so I thought it would be a great time to give everyone a little history lesson and then talk about what Women's History Month means to us. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. So I love learning new things, and this is embarrassing to say, but this is actually the first year that I've actually looked into the history of Women's History Month and what it really means, and so I'm excited to tell you all. It actually started as a local celebration in Santa Rosa, California in 1978. They lined it up with International Women's Day, which Charlie and I talked about at the beginning of the month, that corresponded with the day on March 8th, and then it spread across other communities the following year. And then in 1980, a group of women and women's groups and historians led by the National Women's History Project, they successfully lobbied to get national recognition and got President Jimmy Carter to issue the first presidential proclamation declaring Women's History Week. And then presidents just kept doing that until 1987 when Congress passed a law to designate March as Women's History Month. So that's how we got where we are now.
So I'm going to talk about the theme, all right? The theme of Women Histories Month is, and I keep saying histories. I know it's Women History Month, but I don't know. I keep saying it that way. So my apologies.
It's the history of all these people. So multiple histories. That's right. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So each year, National Women's History Alliance sets a theme. And, you know, last year, 2020, it was the, you know, 100 years that women had the right to vote. And we didn't get to really celebrate it as much as we would. Everything was kind of closed down and we just didn't get to have the events and make a big statement. So they carried on the theme, which was valiant women of the vote, refusing to be silenced, which I really loved. I don't like to be silenced. I like to use our voice and be heard. And so I can absolutely resonate with this message. And yeah, so we're on the same theme, but what else can we, you know, do it or give them, I guess, Bethany, for resources there?
Yeah. So womenshistory.org, just kind of the website that I think you'll find the most information for Women's History Month. They have a toolkit out there. So I'm going to share the toolkit and the website with all of you that has for every day of March, which now we're at the end of March, but you can definitely go back and look at all of them. It shares different things you can learn about women in history. And they have a virtual exhibit. Like if you are walking through the Women's History Museum, you can actually view it online. And one of the things that's coming up for the last day that they shared was this panel of women historians and scholars talking about how the history that we're taught in U.S. schools predominantly omits a lot of things that women did in history. And we focus on events more so that men did. And so they're talking about how this month is really about relearning the things that we weren't fully taught and didn't get to fully appreciate as we were learning history, you know, growing up in school. What it made me realize is that, you know, there is so much that I didn't learn. And I really like to couple that with all of the work we're doing with empowering women and how we're really pushing for gender parity in the workplace and in society, really. But you can't really do that without appreciating all these historical events and parts of history that women were a part of that we need to learn. It resonated with me. I'm glad I got the opportunity to learn it. So that's what I'm taking away from Women's History Month this year. What about you, Charlie? What do you think?
Well, every time I think about this, I think about playing this game, Miss Monopoly. I got it for Christmas from my mom, and I played it with my kids and they were like, what is this? You know, Miss Monopoly. But it basically told us about all the inventions that women have created. And one being the dishwasher. I love to talk about that one because I feel like you can relate to that one really easily. But there's so many, from, you know, bulletproof vests and stuff like that, that, you know, when you look back, you do learn things that you can teach your children, and it changes their perspective of what they can and cannot do. And I think that's really important, which is what this means to me too, right? So being able to highlight women every single day of the month, like, amazing, first of all. And, you know, that's what I like to do. I like to celebrate the women that I meet, that I know, that are doing amazing things right now. But also, like, looking at what they've done and the women that came before us and what they've done and created this, you know, path for us, that's powerful. And I remember watching, you know, Iron Jaw to Angels and thinking, like, wow, I had no idea what these women went through in order for me to be able to vote. And, or, you know, just things in your everyday life, like dishwasher, like, you don't know what she had to do to get that put into place. So things that we learned. And I do want to give a shout out to Shannon Bumgarner. She has been sharing a post every single day for Women History Month of a woman and history, right? A different Know Her Story. So I wanted to share one with you. Know Her Story Day 265, if you want to look it up, is Dorothy Height. She was born in Richmond, Virginia on March the 24th, 1912. Dorothy is credited as the first leader of the civil rights movement to recognize inequality for women and African Americans. These problems have to be considered as a whole, right? Like, we can't just go forward and think about civil rights without including both women and African Americans, which weren't being treated like anything back then. I mean, to be honest, if you look at 1912.
Yeah.
So I just, the more that we reflect and learn and study these people, Dorothy was the president of the National Council of Negro Women for 40 years. Also, that she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And so I just think it's really important to look at these women and study their lives. Think of them as your role model, right? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? And look back at, this was a really hard time for women and minorities. And so, you know, how can you look at what they've done and what they accomplished in that time? What can you do today? That's what it means to me, I guess.
Yeah, I am so thankful for Shannon's series, I guess you would call it, of all these women that she's sharing. Her goal is to hit a year, and she's on day 265. So, you know, less than 100 to go. And she just keeps day after day coming up with these amazing women to share with us. And I thought Dorothy Height's story was really, really powerful. And she had this quote that Shannon shared that I copied that I wanted to share with all of you to kind of leave you with your last thought for a Women's History Month, because I thought it was especially apt. And Dorothy said, "We have to improve life, not just for those who have the most skills and those who know how to manipulate the system, but also for and with those who often have so much to give but never get the opportunity." And that just feels especially poignant today. And, you know, something that I think I want to internalize and move forward with, that, you know, being a goal to help people other than just people who fit into the system and know how to work it to get what they need. And I just, Shannon's great. Thank you, Shannon. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Shannon. And if y'all haven't yet made your way over to the Empowering Women podcast, she's doing some really great things there for us too, sharing stories and really her just commentary and engagement with the speaker is amazing as well. So check her out. And I just want to say, you know, that quote really made me think about the people who don't get the opportunity. And so any of those people don't naturally speak up for themselves, that's the ones I want to get to know, and I want to share their story and make them talk or write for us or whatever. So I'd love to hear from you if this resonates with you too.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to us talk about empowering women and Women's History Month. And, you know, our hope is that you go into work and you talk with your team and you tell them about these cool facts that you learned about Women's History Month, and you share on social media and you connect with Shannon and, you know, really get the most out of it.
Yeah, because it's an amazing month. I mean, we went from having a day to a week to a month. Let's celebrate.
Yeah.
We celebrate it all year. So
for sure.
Okay. Let's get into the news.
This is where we're going to preview some news that'll be coming out on the Empowering Pumps and Equipment newsletter this week, which you'll get straight to your inbox if you're signed up for it. We start every week with the person of the week, and this week it's Tanya Hewitt.
Yes, she's the founder of Beyond Safety Compliance. She's been on several of our meetups. It's really great that she's kind of jumped into our community, but she's specializing in helping Canadian companies be more transparent, you know, really help them and their executives be more aligned, help their workforce just be happier, and you know, look at how they can be purposeful and profitable at the same time. So I think she's amazing. And I think a lot of the times, our passions come from something that maybe isn't so great. So she says that she was a poor fit for her previous workplace. And so she decided that she's going to help organizations become healthier overall. And I think that stems from, you know, wanting to make her organization better. And so she went out and is doing this on her own now, which kudos to that. I love a good entrepreneur. So yeah, check her profile out.
I love the thought that, you know, you don't have to change to fit something. And it's okay if you're not a good fit. You know, if you're not thriving and they're not thriving, you find something and you find a better way to do it. And Tanya did that. And you've mentioned this before, that it's really fun when you tell people that they've been nominated for Person of the Week, because they're like, oh, me? What? Oh, my goodness. You forwarded me this email actually this time so that I could get her profile to put in the show notes. And so I got to see that exchange where she was like, oh, what? This is what?
Yes. And it happens every time. Like everybody is surprised, no matter that. I mean, they've seen how we do this. We talk about it, but every time they're like, really? How did I get this? So yeah, surprise somebody.
Yes. Surprise them, nominate them for Industry Person of the Week. It's super easy. You just put their name in the email and we'll take care of the rest. And Charlie gets to be Santa Claus or the bearer of good news. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's so good. Okay. So EGC Enterprises introduces a low friction, reduced torque, fugitive emissions packing set. Okay. So what is that? It's Dynapack, EGC's latest advance, and it's available now, right? So we talk about fugitive emissions a lot, and this is the packing, okay, that creates a seal so that emissions don't go out into the environment, which super important. I always like to talk about.
Yes.
Absolutely. So it is designed for peak packing performance in refineries, chemicals, or petrochemical industries. And a couple of the benefits that I'll mention here is that it is certified to API 622, the third edition, and it has at least 30% reduction in stem friction. So these are just two, you know, of the points. They have many benefits that y'all can check out if you go and read this. Sign up for the newsletter if you haven't done that, to take a look about that. And I hope you will, because it's important.
So. Yeah. And I was on a call with the pump guy this week, and he was explaining to me how relevant fugitive emissions are to me, especially here in Houston, which I definitely know because we have all of these chemical plants in Houston where fugitive emissions is especially concerning. And they're all taking this into account as they're designing their plants and how it all works. And so I do appreciate all of the safety discussions that go into making our society run at status quo, you know?
Yes. What do you got for us?
My article this week is about backflow prevention 101, and it's from Checkall. So thanks for sending it, Checkall. Basically, we all know backflow is when water is flowing in the reverse direction or the direction that we don't want it to flow in. And so it usually happens when the normal supply or upstream pressure in a pipe drops below the downstream pressure, which allows then contaminated water. I'm using my hands a lot if you're listening to this on the
You have to describe the flow. I mean, it's something that has to happen.
Allowing contaminated water to get drawn to the opposite direction of the usual flow of water. So as you can imagine, it's inconvenient. It's also very dangerous and has some harmful contaminants. And so this white paper from Checkall discusses how manually operated valves just aren't practical for backflow prevention, but how and why automated check valves are. So if you download the white paper, it's a quick read on our website, and I'll include the link in the show notes. It really goes into detail about why automated check valves are the ideal kind of valve to prevent backflow.
Well done.
But yeah, lots of good stories coming out in the news this week. So make sure you're on the lookout in your inbox. And now to the favorite part of the podcast, Charlie's industry interview. Who do you have for us this week, Charlie?
Well, this week is extra special because we are celebrating women, and it is Sonia Matura. And if you don't know, she was also our person of the year for 2020. So extra celebrations. Sonia is the founder and managing director of Strategic Reliability Solutions. She has experience all over the place, industrial, oil and gas, petrochem, automotive, marine, transportation, et cetera. But the area of lubrication and reliability is really where she's a master. She's had a book about it, all kinds of really great things from Sonia there. So we're happy to have her on.
Yeah, it's a great interview. And for those of you watching on YouTube, just a heads up, we recorded this one before our podcast platform added video in. So you're just going to be listening to it on the video. It's a great listen, though. She had a lot of really fun insights about how when she first started her job, people came in and they're like, you're the same age as my granddaughter. And
thanks.
maybe not now, but when I did first get into the industry, I could definitely relate that, you know, people would just comment on your age a lot. And she just talks about that mentality of just proving yourself and having the confidence to move on and really setting that example for women in the industry. And so I thought it was a really good interview, and I think all of our listeners are going to really enjoy it as well. So without further delay, here's your interview.
Hey, Sonia, and welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast.
Oh, yes. Hi. Oh, my God.
So, Sonia, just start by telling everybody kind of, you know, what your day job is like.
Oh, boy. My day is so different every day, and I think I love that the most about it, because we change so much. And what I really do is that I am the founder and the owner of Strategic Reliability Solutions Limited. And what we do is that we try to help persons within the industry to get that solution that they're looking for, whether it's through training or through consulting. So we have a range of programs that we offer to our clients, and it's based on, of course, lubrication, because you know I do a lot with lubrication. It's based on lubrication, based on reliability-centered maintenance. It's based on root cause analysis. We even have maintenance planning and scheduling. We have maintenance task analysis. So we've brought together a bunch of different subject matter experts, and we wanted to be a sort of a bridge to bridge that gap. So anybody looking for some sort of reliability solution could actually come to us, and we can offer one of those solutions or have somebody sit with them and figure out where do we go from here. So a typical day would be talking to all of our affiliates, talking to our clients, planning ahead, planning. We do a lot of planning.
Yes, making sure something doesn't go wrong, right? We want to know about it before.
Oh boy, yes. And just making sure that everything sort of comes together and keeping it all afloat and making sure that everything runs as it should. And in the cases that it doesn't, then we just figure out a way to get there.
Yes. Okay, so I do want to get into your book that you created on lubrication. But first, I would like to know a little bit more about how you got into the industry.
Oh, well, I actually have my bachelor's in electrical and computer engineering, which is totally, totally different from lubrication. If you ask any electrical engineer, they were like, no, we don't really deal with oil. But right. I started off with my bachelor's in that, and I worked in the industry for a bit. And then I got another job offer. And with this job offer, they were asking me to be a technical support in the lubrication field. And while it was very, very new to me, I decided to take that chance and go into it. And I remember very clearly after going for the interview, somebody from the panel calling me afterwards. And I think I was like 23 at the time. So, you know, you're very, very young in the industry. And he said to me, he's like, Sonia, you have two things going against you. You're female. And I was like, okay, well, I can't change that one.
Right.
And then he said, you're very young. And he said, everybody else that we interviewed, they were older, they were male, they had experience in the industry. But what I see, those two factors, I see them working for you. I know that because you're young, you are going to be easily molded. You're going to be able to receive the training that we're going to give you. And just because you're female, we're not going to hold that against you. It actually makes you a better candidate in some instances because you give a fresh insight to a typically male-dominated industry. So that's how I got started in the lubrication industry. And working with clients and engineers, it brought everything together for me. And that's where I started to love reliability and understand what it's all about.
Did it ever like set you back when they said that? Like, do I really want to be here? Did you ever have those kind of thoughts?
Yes, those thoughts always were through my mind because I remember being so young in the industry and walking into like a room full of engineers, and they're like, oh, my granddaughter is your age. And I'm like, not even your daughter. You're telling me your granddaughter is my age.
Right.
So you always get that. And even though what I've realized from that, or what I've learned, is that there'll always be somebody who is young. There'll always be somebody who is new to the industry, but you shouldn't hold that against them, because they would always bring a fresh perspective. And what I needed to tell myself was that it's okay. This is something new to them. This is, it's like a change to them. And everybody is always, you know, they're against change from the first minute that they hear about it. But once they realize the value that is being brought to the table, that's when, you know, things start changing. So I always hear those comments and I'm like, okay, let me just let that slide for a bit and let them understand the value that we can actually bring to the table. So yeah, there were some thoughts initially.
Yes, I tell my daughter all the time, you just have to show them that you can do it. You know, mm-hmm. they may not believe it, but you just have to show them.
Oh yeah.
One thing I did want to ask you about is this term engineering asset management. Can you explain that a little bit for us?
So it's very funny that you asked that question, because while I was in the industry and getting into reliability, I wanted to do my master's. And I looked for all of the different programs that the university, that they were offering at the time for master's projects and master's programs. And none of them had reliability in it. None of the titles were reliability. None of the titles were lubrication. There wasn't a dedicated program to it. And being from the electrical and computer department, I kind of switched to the mechanical department, because it was the only department that was actually offering this thing called engineering asset management. And under the program, the different topics, they talked about reliability. And I was like, okay, that's the one that I want to do. Because I had the main aim of doing my master's was to do my thesis on a lubrication project. And that was the only program that I could see that fitting in. So at first, I didn't know what engineering asset management was either. And then getting into the program, the master's program for engineering asset management, of course, my guys in electrical and computer engineering, you know, they told me that I jumped ship to the mechanical department. Right. And they were very upset, but that's okay. That's all right. They'll live it down. But with engineering asset management, what it focuses on is reliability, maintenance, safety, and even the performance of the assets in the field. And that's exactly what we do when we talk about lubrication, because lubrication is just part of one of those things. So that's the one that I wanted to get into, because I realized that reliability affects everybody. And it's something that anybody getting into any industry will have to touch. Even if they're in accounting, they still have to talk to the reliability guys at the end of the day, because everything is linked when you talk about reliability. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah. And, you know, you dove in, you learn this stuff. And then most recently, you have created this book, mm-hmm. Which, you know, is timely. You both, I guess, kind of educated yourself and then wrote for other people. You know, what was the initiative there to write the book?
Well, while I was doing my thesis, I had a lot of trouble getting information on lubrication. And my thesis was on rotating equipment in an ammonia complex, the lubrication aspects of it. And what I realized from that is that there are so many different degradation mechanisms. And when I reached out to different subject matter experts, they told me, they were like, okay, you know, we have this information readily available. You may not be able to find it online, but we have it directly. And I'm like, from that moment, since writing my thesis back in, what year was that? 2016, probably. I realized that we have the need to have all of this information collated and available to the public. Because unless you know a subject matter expert within the field, or you're talking to somebody who knows something, that's right. The only way you're going to get it. And I wanted to make it readily available for everybody. And I wanted to sort of draft the book in a manner that anyone within the industry could pick it up, whether they've been in the lubrication business for more than 20 years or if they're now starting off. So it's easy to understand language. It's a small book. It's almost like a handbook, and it goes through everything very concisely and definitely helps the reader along in terms of what they can look for the different lubrication degradation mechanisms. So I was so happy to get that out. And I actually did that at the beginning of COVID, because when they started the quarantines and the lockdowns, the first thing I said was, I'm going to have so much more time on my hands. What do I do with that?
Yes, I agree with you. The lack of travel and you know, just being more efficient with some of the things that we're doing, we did save a lot of time. And so the book is Lubrication Degradation Mechanisms, A Complete Guide.
Yes, it is. And it's published by CRC Press. So it's going over with CRC. I think I wrote the book in about a month.
That's awesome.
Because I had all the content in my head and I'm like, I just want to get it down. And then going back and forth with CRC, and I was doing my MLE, Machinery Lubrication Engineer with ICML at the same time. And that's what helped me to bridge some of the gaps in the book. Because I started thinking about, okay, well, it would be great if we had this foundation set for people who are reading the book. You know, they need to understand the basics. So in the book, we actually start with basics of lubrication, and then we go straight into the degradation mechanism. So the way it's structured, it's as though you can have each chapter as a standalone, or you can go through the chapters completely with the book. So that's what I like about the way in which that we presented it. And I love the fact that I was able to talk about the different mechanisms, the tests involved, because a lot of people get distracted within the field. They start thinking about, okay, well, we see this happening. What do we do now? You know, what tests can they perform to stop it from happening in the future? What method they could put into place to actually, you know, prevent this? And one of the big parts of that is actually getting to the root cause of what is causing that degradation mechanism. So it spells this out very nicely, and it helps people who are within the industry to get more familiar with these things. And that's what I really wanted to bridge the gap of.
Yeah. And if you're in it, you're getting into this industry, lubrication causes, or improper lubrication, however you say that best, Anya, is one of the things that come up so many times. It's just kind of simple. If you know what it should, how you should, you know, use it properly, it can save this equipment, from what I've learned in my little bit of time.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So Sonia, you are our Industry Person of the Year of 2020. And I think this, you know, it's a testament, right? So you didn't let anything kind of hold you back. You continued to build your community and engage with them during that time and created the book. And, you know, I just am like, okay, what are you going to accomplish next? Do you have something else on your radar?
We have so many things that are working in the background. I'm actually co-authoring a book with Michael Holloway. So he's one of the greats in the industry, in the lubrication industry in particular. So I am in the process of doing that with him. I am trying to get some more courses up on the East Partnership site. That's with Lucas Marino. Because what I wanted to do with his site was, he's offering on-demand courses. And I facilitated some on-demand courses for lubrication. And I just wanted it to be very concise courses so that anybody within the industry, they just need a refresher. They need an introduction. They go on to this course. It doesn't take them 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days. It's quick, to the point, and it gets them the information that they need to know. So I want to start rolling out some more courses with that. And we have some other things planned for 2021, but they're still in the works. So 2021 is going to be a great year. Definitely, definitely a great year. And we will be working with Empowering Industry as well to make it a great year.
Yes, I'm excited to share. You have been so great just, you know, with our community. And as a woman in the industry, it's always nice to kind of hear that, you know, internal self-talk that's leading you in the right direction. Is there anything else, just as we've been talking, that you thought about that you want to share with our audience?
What I want to let people know is that, even though I think we started off the podcast with that, we talked about being a female in a male-dominated industry. What I want women in particular to know is that even though you may be female in a male-dominated industry, you are uniquely you, and you will bring that value to the table no matter what. So don't get caught up with all of these things that you hear within the industry, and don't get put down easily. You have value to offer, and just stick with it and offer the value that you are and only you can offer. And what I want to do is I want to say thank you so much for all the other females within the industry that are paving the way forward for our young girls, you know. Charlie, you're doing an amazing job in the pump industry. I know that, you know, we're breaking down some barriers there. And we have so many other women that they've taken the initiative, they've started, you know, talking out about it, and they've made it, while it may be a male-dominated industry, they're making it more, I want to say, female-friendly, so that our young girls, they know that even though they're going into this industry, there are women who are working in this industry as well. It's not just, you're not just going to have guys in the industry, and their mentors and, you know, people that they can look up to within the industry to help them move forward. So that's what I want to let them know, you know.
For sure.
Always stay humble. Always stay humble and ask a lot of questions. I mean, it sounds weird that I say to ask a lot of questions, but sometimes when you ask questions, you get the other person thinking about the situation in a different light. So you're actually bringing that to the table while you are, you know, getting more information about what's going on as well. So yeah, it's good for them.
That's so great. That's some great advice. It really is. And, you know, I want women to know they're not alone in this industry. And, you know, if you ever feel like you are, then, you know, just give us a call or send us a message and we'll connect you with some people, because, you know, I felt that way. And really it was about reaching out, connecting with other people into making that more intentional. But if you're out there and you're like, okay, I'm not quite so sure about this industry, just, you know, send us a message and we'll help you get better connected. I think that's the power of this group.
Oh, yes.
And really our industry as a whole. You know, Sonny, you have a lot of male colleagues that are supportive of you and helping you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a testament to, you know, that work. You're showing your work and willing to stay there and learn. And we all need to be better at that,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Well, I have enjoyed getting to know you, and I can't wait to share this with everybody. If they are looking to kind of reach out to you, what's your kind of favorite way to be connected?
The first thing is LinkedIn, because we're always on LinkedIn. You can either reach me through the company page, look for Strategic Reliability Solutions Limited, or just Google Strategic Reliability Solutions Limited, and you will see the website come up, which is strategicreliabilitysolutions.com. We're also on Instagram, so that's Strategic Reliability. And of course, we're on Facebook as well, and that's Strategic Reliability Solutions. So once you Google, you could just Google Strategic Reliability Solutions and you'll see a bunch of things come up. So connect with us through any one of them and we'll be happy to respond to you.
So there you have it. I have Sonia Matura, our Industry Person of the Year, yes. Signing off here. All right. And we're back.
Charlie, thanks for arranging the interview for us. Sun is great. And I didn't get to celebrate her as Person of the Year for 2020. And so I'm excited that I'm here now on the episode that she had her interview. So congratulations. Awesome. That was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's doing a lot of great things. I'll mention Larry's episode. So two episodes ago, Larry, the pump guy that Bethany talked about earlier, talked to us, and they have a course together. Him and Sonia have a course together. So we'll provide that link as well. So y'all can, you know, see them again, both Larry and Sonia in action.
Yeah. And so we're at the end of the show.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Do us a favor, subscribe. Hold on, let me get my inner Carly. Subscribe, like and subscribe. Hit that button.
like and subscribe. Okay.
Yeah, rate and review the podcast, wherever iTunes, wherever you listen to it. We appreciate it. That's how we show up for other listeners to find the show. And so sincerely, we really do need it and appreciate it when you do that.
Yes. And you can always, 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 always reach us at Empowering Pumps on social media or using the hashtag Empowering Industry Podcast. If you want to, you can email us podcast@empoweringpumps.com.
We'll be back every Monday with a new episode, and next week's number 50, the big one. I'm going to wear black. We'll do something. I don't know.
I love it. I love it. So until then, be empowering. You know, I think it's a perfect time. We're moving into Let's Get Social. So you want to?
Dang it. Tweet, tweet.
Sonia, you are our Industry Person of the Year of 2019.
Oh,
2020.
Wrong year.
So you, yeah, let me repeat that.